This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the Aftershock Central Podcast with Martin and Jack.
Hello.
Ronnie's not here. He's pretending to do something at a baseball field. I don't know. That's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what he says. We should just kick him out of the show. It's not like he doesn't even come on the show.
I mean, yeah. If all he cares about is baseball.
Yeah. I think he just hates Aftershock. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Bastard.
You know, he must hate Black Eyed Kids.
He does hate
Black Eyed Kids. If he missed a Black Eyed Kids week.
He's like that Joe Pruitt. I don't know about him.
Yeah.
I don't know about him. Anyway, so yeah, so tonight, I guess that's like tonight/today.
Yeah.
Depending when you're listening. We'll be discussing Black Eyed Kids number 6 and the revisionist number 4.
Yep.
So which one do we want to do first?
I want to do Black Eyed Kids.
Oh, Lord.
Because if we run out of time, then I won't be that disappointed.
Okay, that sounds
Revisionist
good.
Revisionist isn't a bad book. I made that sound bad, didn't I?
Yeah, you made that sound terrible. No, it's not a bad book. So Black Eyed Kids number 6. Roll call. Joe Pruitt writing. Simon Kudrowski on art. Guy Major in colors. Marshall Dillon on letters.
You nailed that name, by the way. Even though we've said it a couple of times now, I couldn't get it.
Simon?
Is it Simon? Kudrowski?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what it sounds like to me. If it's wrong, we'll find out. I'm pretty sure somebody would have told us by now if we were wrong.
I don't know. Maybe they're just like those idiots. They're never going to get it. Why do I even bother?
Why don't you give us a recap of Black Eyed Kids number 6?
Cool. So this starts with Michael's dad and sister at the diner with Gus, who is our new kind of badass lumberjack friend from the Genesis short story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says something about a commune. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes.
Went through it really fast.
Yes.
And he mentioned being in a commune with his daughter, but he didn't go into detail. And that's important. So I'm going to come back to it. But then after their discussion at the diner, some black-eyed kids show up outside the diner. And the only way they can escape is sort of by busting out of the diner, kind of Rambo style. We know you can't kill black-eyed kids, so they just have pistols, and I think somebody had like a automatic rifle or something. But but they're all going off, and I guess they figure the only way to get away from black-eyed kids is just to injure them enough to get away before they get back up. So that's exactly what they do. They get in a car with the intention of driving, just hauling through the black-eyed kids. However, one of them is Gus's daughter, and he sees her, and he just can't do it. So they kind of turn around and go the other way. Presumably, I guess they get away. But one cool scene is, meanwhile, the diner employee is like freaking out because these guys with guns just went out and started loading on kids. So she goes over to help one of the kids, and she's like, you know, don't worry, you're going to be all right. And then the kid opens up his eyes, and he just calmly says, I know, which was awesome. Scene. And then simultaneously there's kind of another scene going on toggling back and forth between, but there's a cop at a bar, and I don't think, have we seen this guy before? Is he new,
the cop?
Yeah,
I thought it was the same cop we've been seeing the whole time.
Okay, I couldn't remember. But he's sitting at the bar drinking his sorrows away because his wife left him. And his job's not going well. And to make a long story short, he runs into Black Eyed Kids, and they wind up following him to his home. And they tell him, we come with a warning. If you continue to go down the path you're following, death will find you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Meredith and the creepy leader kid, and he introduces her to Ricky, which was the black-eyed kid in jail, right? With the freckles and glasses.
Yes.
And she has another flashback and remembers Ricky from that scene at the end of number 5. So the leader's not her brother, but Ricky's her brother, right?
Yes.
So going back to that scene at the end of issue 5, I've kind of connected some dots here. So that scene was in issue 5 was the commune that Gus mentioned at the beginning of this issue.
Correct.
And I know this because we see him there. We see him in it with like a ponytail. And I didn't recognize him before because he's all cleaned up, but it's him. And he's with his daughter, who is now a black-eyed kid, we know. And Meredith and her brother Ricky are there also with, it looks like, their mom or some female. And there's a bunch of other people there with their kids, too. So here's my crazy theory time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was wrong about the sort of the cult angle to this. I think this commune was some sort of like religious or black magic cult or whatever. And by some hoodoo, they arose the leader from that black pit he came out of.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids were kind of like the parents' offerings to him. And the parents were all down with this at that time, at least, because they all look really happy at this commune mm-hmm. with this creepy kid coming out of the ground. And the only one that even looks worried at all is Meredith, who I'm guessing is the only kid that was either immune or snuck away somehow.
I like your theory. I like your theory. I still wish it was, I'm still hoping for aliens. Okay. But I think that's kind of irrelevant to the whole conversation. I think the cult thing is spot on. There's definitely a cult. It's kind of weird that everybody's related, though, to this cult. Because in this issue, yeah. it's the first time we see all the connections, right?
Right.
Because we knew about the guy that's got the Black Eyed Kids website. That he was married to this guy's wife, now dead wife.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that, but that was about the only connection we had to anybody else.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, like you said, we see Ricky, so we have some connection to that flashback scene.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this new mystery man from Genesis, he knew all these people when they were younger because he was part of the cult.
Yep.
As an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wonder when he left. Like, do you think he left after his daughter was turned? Or do you think that his daughter was turned because he left?
No.
She seems pretty young.
Yeah. Well, no, so that's something else I don't understand is it seems like some of the kids don't age. But then why is Ricky older now? Because he's like a teenager or older.
Yes.
So I don't know what's going on there. And I don't know if the parents thought they were getting into something else and took their kids there with, you know, I don't know. And it didn't turn out the way they were hoping or what, or if they were kind of, maybe misled or possessed somehow, or
I don't know about that. I mean, cults are kind of a weird thing, right? So I think you can get anybody to do anything you want. With
right.
the right motivation.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these people were like necessarily misled. And take that as you will. I mean, I think if you're in a cult, you're somewhat misled anyway.
Right.
But, you know, I think they knew what they were getting into. But maybe actually seeing what happens to the kids makes some people change their mind. Right. Because you can believe whatever you want. But then when you see something happen, it might be a little different. It might affect you differently.
Yeah.
Right. Because then you're like, oh, well, this is my kid. I don't want my kid to be this way.
Right. Or maybe their kids got converted and then turned on them.
That's also possible.
And
like, what's that? Children of the Corn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gus got away and Meredith got away somehow.
Yeah, it's very possible.
And maybe everybody else was slaughtered or something, for all we know.
That's very possible. I think the leader, do we have a name for him yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I was wondering that too. We know the new guy is Gus.
Yes. The leader has that interesting line where he says, mankind, something about like mankind is going to be like in its proper place, serving as my slaves as they always have and always will, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in front of me right now. But that was kind of an interesting line, because it kind of tells you that even though he looks like a little kid, he's obviously at least hundreds, maybe thousands of years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that goes kind of with what you were saying, you know. Maybe the cult woke something up that they weren't supposed to be.
Yeah. He's like I mean, I thought at first he was just another black-eyed kid, but with a little, you know, he's just the he's the leader of them, but he's more or less the same.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end of this episode, it seems like he's the thing. He's it. And
right.
The black-eyed kids are just kind of his subjects.
Right.
And that the very last panel when Meredith sees Ricky, and then all the other black-eyed kids are there. He says, "Behold the future of man." Oh, is this what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yep, the last page.
Well, he says, "Mindless livestock for me to lord over and command." And it's all the black-eyed kids there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he knows they're just walking, you know, kids doing whatever.
Sure. So is this like does he like telepathically control these kids? Or is it just like they're completely mindless? Like it's a hive mind and he is the only one with a mind. You see, does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's pretty interesting. I think this issue started off a little bit slower than the rest of them. But there's a lot of information that is fed to the reader, which I really appreciated.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, we've been going on for – this is issue 6, so 5 issues, not really knowing what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And now we're finally starting to see some of that. So
right.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
It's about time. No, this is good. And I think it ties a lot. There's still a lot of questions that are left out there, but now they're a little bit more minor because we kind of know what's going on now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now it's just a matter of expanding those connections, right?
Yeah. Filling in some gaps.
I thought there was an interesting bit when those two black-eyed kids go to see the cop at his house and mm-hmm. they threaten him, you know, and he's like, "You can't do anything to me. Like, I don't care." And they're like, "Oh, well, your wife. Like,
oh, right. Yeah.
We'll go after her." Mm-hmm. That was interesting. But then when he threatens them about, like, "If you had the balls to come into my house, I'll whoop your ass," pretty much is what he says. And they're like, "Oh, thank you."
Yeah.
Like, how do they get that as an invitation? Because they have to be invited to come in, right?
Right.
Well, how is that an invitation?
Well, that's just them being like they're kind of smartass the way they always are.
Mm.
Right? They always have their little clever zingers and whatnot that they do and say.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there has to be something in the way that whatever possesses them works that requires the invitation. Right into the home.
Why?
That's everything that we've seen. That's always how it is. Like, they can't go into the house without being invited in, or even at the hospital, they couldn't go into the hospital until that security guard told them, like, said something about coming in.
Hmm. I haven't picked up on that.
Yeah, yeah. They have to be invited in to wherever, like, whatever home or place they're trying to get into. That's why they always, like, creep outside the window, because they can't go into the place unless they're invited.
It's
like vampires.
Yeah, even in the first issue, they waited outside until, was that Michael, until he came out?
Right.
They didn't just barge in and...
Yeah, they always have to be invited to come in. So that's why I thought it was weird. He's like, "If you have the balls to come into my house,
right,
whoop your ass." And they're like, "Thanks for the invitation."
Yeah.
And that's when they come in. I mean, I don't know. That seemed a little weird, but maybe, like, we don't know the rules of how their thing works.
Yeah. And the issue with Gus, he got tricked into letting one in.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
He thought he was just a regular guy.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely. Anything else in this issue?
Oh, no, man. It's good. Good stuff.
Let's rate this up then. I'm going to let you go first.
I'm going to give it a 4.5. I mean, I love it. This book, it feels like at this point just can do no wrong. I mean, it's going to be solid.
I agree. I'm going to give it a 4.25.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the quarter rating. It was a great issue, as always. I love the new information. I love this little – the leader, Black Eyed Kid. He's my favorite. But I don't know. There was something for me missing that I couldn't give it a 5. But I think a 4.25 is an excellent rating. That means I loved it, so –
But this is the one that everything we've read so far has tied it all together.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there wasn't that like one thing that happened that made me say, well, holy crap. Like even that reveal of Gus and all the relationships,
yeah,
how everyone tied together, even that didn't give me the oh crap moment.
Yeah.
You know? But still, 4.25, that's a good score.
Yep.
That's better than 95% of the books that I read.
Hey, it wasn't better than Animosity.
No, it was – I don't know. Right now those two books are kind of tied for me, dude.
Yeah?
I got to tell you. Animosity 2 brought it. All right, so let's talk about The Revisionist.
Let's do it.
So The Revisionist number – what is this, number 4?
4.
We start off with a flashback scene of Martin back in his hoodlum days. He's hanging out with a buddy of his, and they work for, I'll say, a gangster. His name is Turk, and they work for this guy, and you know, they have a little argument. Of course, the guy doesn't want to get killed. He's like, "Don't do this." He's like, "You know, you crossed Turk too many times. Turk can't do this anymore."
Right.
And then we cut to the scene where Martin goes to see Turk to tell him that he's killed this other guy. He's not going to be a problem anymore. And Turk pays him off. And yep. Martin says, you know, this is it, right? This is my last job. Mm-hmm. Turk's like, yeah, it's your last job until the next one when you come back to me, because that's the kind of person you are.
Now, why did he go back to Turk?
Well... So that's part of the rest of the story.
It seemed illogical to me. That's why I'm interrupting you to say that.
You mean like after he killed his friend?
No. Why did the guy that he saved?
Spoiler.
Okay.
So if we keep going with the story, I guess I can tell this in two different parts.
Sorry, go ahead. You're right. I'm jumping ahead.
Because in this issue, there's a lot of time jumping.
Yeah.
Where you see a lot of Martin in the past and Martin now. And in the now, he is starting to realize that even though he hates his dad and he thinks his dad is an a-hole, that his dad is right about the way time works. Mm-hmm. And him not being the revisionist is causing issues with the time. Mm-hmm. And so he decides to pick up his gun again and become a revisionist.
Yep.
But as all this is happening, there's a guy that is hunting him.
Right.
And the guy shoots him through his window, and that's kind of when he realizes, like, I got to do this. Regardless of what I think of my dad or anything else, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with myself. So he goes, finds the guy, or starts looking for the guy. He finds all the guy's tech, and it's kind of weird because this mystery figure doesn't speak English, or if he does... We can't really tell because all his dialogue is written in like –
Yeah.
It's not hieroglyphics, but like some weird font.
Right.
So
– Like it's some unknown language or something.
Yeah, an unknown language or like a future English. Who knows? So we're going back and forth in time. We jump back to the past and we see that Martin has not killed his friend. The guy actually – what he did is he told them to pretty much disappear. Mm-hmm. So Turk wouldn't kill him. But his friend – was an idiot and went back to Turk to try to get forgiveness, I would assume. So my thing with that is I think it's the same type of deal with Martin and Turk. When Turk says, you know, yeah, it's your last job, but you'll be back. I think all these guys, he knows that he can control all these guys because they're all the same. They have nowhere else to nowhere else to go. They don't know how to do anything else other than be a criminal.
Yeah.
And so regardless of, you know, whether they leave or try to be something else, they're always going to come back to Turk because they feel safe with Turk. They know that, you know, they'll be part of something, even though they're obviously they're criminals, but they'll be part of something and, you know, they'll excel at what they're good at, which is being criminals. So they have no place else to go.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of like we're talking about the cult in Black Eyed Kids. It's kind of the same thing. You know, Turk is kind of a charismatic leader. He just so happens to be a criminal.
Yeah.
So these guys follow him blindly.
Yeah, I guess that works.
Yeah. Anyway, so we jump back to the present, and this mystery man goes after – I believe her name is Tiffany, but I could be mistaken. The girl that in the one time frame was Martin's correctional officer.
All right.
The one that helped
him
in prison. And she is in her hotel room. This mystery man, I guess, knows her relationship to Martin and goes and tries to kill her. Martin uses his high-tech time-traveling technology to fake this hologram to walk into the room and catch the guy off guard. They have a fight. He knocks the mystery man down, starts taking off his bandages because his face is bandaged up. And he says, "Oh, no, it's you." And then it cuts to the fact that the man is wearing a bomb vest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an explosion at the hotel, and the issue ends.
Yep. And it only – who do you think it is? There's one person that seems kind of obvious. And I don't know if it's too obvious.
It would be obvious for it to be his friend, right?
Oh, I was going to say his dad.
His dad? See, I didn't get that at all.
He didn't follow his order, and now he's – I mean, he abandoned what he was doing, and now he's screwing up the timeline. So he's taking some – he's going to say, I got to do what I have to do.
Interesting. See, I didn't get that. Now that you say it, it makes sense. But
who's his friend?
The guy that he pretended to kill.
Oh.
But did not kill. See, when I read this, I was like, oh, maybe that's who it is. But then I was like, no, that's just a technique that Frank's doing to throw us off guard.
Huh. That could work.
You know?
Like he kills this guy and he keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Of course,
he
would have had to have done this in the past.
Sure. Well, I'm just saying that I think in terms of the story, it makes sense that way. Because you're going back and forth between him killing his friend and then his friend trying to kill him. And you have that storyline. So it makes sense to me that the mystery man would be his friend. But it also makes sense that it's just to throw you off guard. I think it's somebody that we've already seen. So I like the fact that it could be his dad. I think that's possible.
I'm going with that.
I still want it to be Martin. I think
Martin killing himself?
Yeah. Have you ever seen Looper?
Yeah.
It'd be cool if it was like that, like Looper, you know?
Of course, what'd he say? He would have said, no, that's impossible. It's me, not it's you.
Well, they couldn't say that because then he ruined the whole story.
Right.
But we've already seen like the revisionist thing altering timelines.
Yeah.
So it's very possible that this is just Martin in a different timeline.
Right.
It's right. And I think I said the last issue that we discussed were, you know, I guess they could be two Martins, one that actually followed all the rules of his dad in time travel and one that didn't, but still had that knowledge.
Yeah.
And I just think it'd be interesting to have that dichotomy. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This issue was pretty straightforward, though. That's what I like about Revisionist.
You kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward story. You know,
yeah.
You got your beginning, middle, end. It's fun throughout. You get little bits of new stuff, but again, nothing mind-blowing in this issue. So I'll rate this one up. I'm going to give this one a lower score than most. I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5 or a 3.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of that reason.
Yeah, I'm exactly right there with you, 3.5. And because, I think it's a good read and I enjoy it, but I must say, though, it doesn't feel all that original to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of another time travel story.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's one of those where I think if I'd buy it, if I when I can, but if I was like on a budget, it might be one that I'd let go.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Yeah, I think overall in my rankings, this is dropped a bit.
Right.
But also, you know, we've gotten to really solid new books in Animosity and Alters. So
true. I think
that's to be expected.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'll bump Animosity ahead of this too. I have it behind it.
That's too funny. So are you ready to wrap this one up?
Yeah. Cool. Short and sweet.
Yeah, short and sweet. This has been the Aftershock Central Podcast with Martin and Jack.
Ciao.
Dang.
Out of here, man.
What if they want to get in touch with us, Jack?
You paused.
You're like, no, don't get in touch with us. Just bye. We're out of here.
By the way, it's still ringing, Ronnie.
I know. I see that. Jack is at Jack Sutherland. Ronnie is at Rambar316. I am at Geekvine. The show is at Aftershock Pod. I think Ronnie's taking over that because I just don't have the time for it. But, of course, email is the best. Email us hello@nerdlegion.com. And I guess until next time, go read some more Aftershock books. Now you can say ciao.
Ciao.